Test 1, 2. All right. How about you?
Test 1, 2.
Super. Chris Lorton here with the local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, I got a voice here. Welcome, Ben Getten.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes. Now, we were talking before we came on the air. How many years have you been state's attorney?
Working on my 18th, brother.
18th year.
18 years.
Isn't
yes.
that crazy?
It is crazy. Yeah, it's great. Loving it.
And how many times have you had people running against you?
This is my fifth term, and my first run, I had opposition. I've been unopposed for the last four, which has been wonderful. So yeah. Hopefully,
it makes it a lot cheaper.
It's a heck of a lot cheaper, man, and less stressful for sure. And hopefully that means that I'm doing the job that the people want me to do, and just real proud to represent Jersey County here.
Well, I think it does mean that. I think it means that people are happy, and I think you do. I think you really work hard. To accommodate everybody. Just to do right to everybody. You can't throw out the red carpet. On every issue, but you can help people.
Folks make mistakes, Chris. That's what I say. Good people do bad things sometimes, and we don't sweat the small things, and we take care of the big things. Keep the kids safe in this community. Keep our businesses strong, and that's kind of the goal and motivation.
Yeah, I hear you, and it shows. You came from originally grew up in Carrollton, Greene County. Your father was a state's attorney. Your brother was a state's attorney. Your dad, how long was he state's attorney in Greene County?
I think dad was just a little less than I am here, and then moved on to be the director of a state agency as a prosecutor. But of course, Norb was Jersey County born and raised. So was my mother. He only moved up to Carrollton to run for office. And then once he was elected, he stayed there for probably three terms, I think.
Okay. And how about Matt, your brother, Matt?
Yeah, Matt got out of the military and went to law school, came back and ran for state's attorney and was there, I believe, for one, maybe one and a half terms. He actually did a tour of duty in Afghanistan for a year during that time. And now he's working for the appellate prosecutor's office as a special prosecutor, going around the state, trying murder cases and taking care of the state that way.
Is he doing good?
He's doing great. He just got done with a stint. He went back into the military for 3 years, and he was stationed out in Colorado Springs and just finished up that tour. So now he's back in Springfield, and he and his wife.
Super. How about Nate? What's Nate? I know what's Nate's up to, but tell me.
Oh, Nader. Everybody's favorite getting. Nader is, he's the superintendent of Pier Marquette. From what I hear, doing a great job. He is a worker. He's got a hell of a work ethic, and I know he's treating everybody good down there. So, yeah, Nate's doing well.
So you grew up in an attorney's house, okay? Your dad was an attorney. Did you always think that you were going to be an attorney?
Yeah, it was from a young age. I can remember going up and watching my dad in court and just saying, that's it. This is all I ever wanted to do. And be quite honest with, be a prosecutor was all I ever wanted to do. I never dreamed of being a private attorney. Working at a big firm, I always wanted to be a prosecutor,
and fulfilled that dream.
Yes, sir.
And what do you like about being a prosecutor, a state's attorney?
Well, you alluded to it a little bit. In as much as it is prosecuting crime and holding those accountable, it's also helping folks out in a really tough time in their life. I mean, especially with victims, helping someone through that process is important to me. Showing empathy towards what's happened. And then, even with defendants, folks that have committed crime, being fair to them, seeking the punishment that's just, as opposed to just the maximum amount under the law. That's just not how you do this job. You got to treat people with respect throughout the process. And that's what I try to keep in mind. Do unto others, you do unto yourself. And it's worked out pretty well.
Now, the people that work under you in your office, do you hire them? Are they yours, your picks?
My assistant, I have one assistant, and he has been there for 25 years. think Mary Kerback originally hired Kevin Teller, who does an outstanding job, obviously, or he wouldn't have been there 25 years. And my staff as well, I've got two secretarial staff that are there that I do choose. Now they're part of a union, so you know, I would never want to get rid of my staff. They're incredible. But if I did, you'd have to go through that process with the union.
Any comments on the judge that we have in Jersey County?
She's, and I'll say this about Judge Lorton, about Allison. We are so lucky to have her. There are so many jurisdictions throughout the state where there are judges that don't necessarily know the law.
Okay.
And I've never experienced the wide range of knowledge that Allison has for the law, the rule of law, her interpretation, and just her mind, you know, her mindfulness of everything. We are so lucky to have her. She had huge shoes to fill when Eric Pistorius left the bench.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, she has done that. Yeah. Over and over, and we as Jersey County residents should be very proud of who sits on that bench and wears that robe.
Yeah, I've never heard anything but good things about her.
Never.
She's so down to earth, you know? I mean, she just doesn't act like a judge.
That's,
you know?
Right.
I mean,
that's,
she
right.
Just acts, yeah, like just, you know, just normal,
yeah,
person.
Yeah,
you know?
That, yeah, she's, you know, ego comes with that robe a lot of times.
Yeah, I know.
And people will put that robe on and they become a different person. And she is the exact same person, whether she's sitting up on that bench or she's sitting at George's having dinner with her family.
Yeah, we're lucky to have the people we have representing Jersey County. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you grew up in a Democratic family and you used to be a Democrat. And now you're an independent. How did that come to be?
Well, yeah, it's no secret, you know, my family, Tuffy and Willie, who we lost this year, and my father, Norb, they've been involved in Democrat politics their entire lives. And in turn, that's what we grew up around. And those were the sort of values and ideals that were in my household and at our dinner table. So I carried that on, and you know, things change, and things have changed here in the state of Illinois. One, after talking to my good friend, Nick Manns, who's our county sheriff and who ran as an independent, you know, left or right leaning tendencies have no place in law enforcement. You shouldn't think that way. It shouldn't impact the way you do your job. So that's an important thing, to maintain independence in the job that we do as law enforcement officers. Secondly, was the Safety Act. That was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, as far as I was concerned. The Safety Act, which took away cash bail, it was a major criminal justice reform that more tailored Cook County than it did Jersey County.
And how did that affect Jersey County?
Well, the major way it affects Jersey County is, for instance, if our jail populations used to be between probably in 30 and 40 on average. I mean, there may be five people in jail over there. Now, what happens when you don't accept cash bond? Typically what will happen, someone used, before the act, they were picked up, they would have to post $250, $300 in bond. Okay. That money would sit there until the case was concluded. And then our clerk would use that money to pay off the fines and fees. My concern is this: that pool of money's gone. It doesn't exist. Small counties like ours, I don't know if we can sustain that financial void that was created by this act. So I my concern is, in a few years, we're not going to have the money to provide the services that we provide our community now. That's my major concern. Secondly is just, someone commits a crime and they're given a notice to appear, ticket, and have a nice day. Go on.
Why did Cook County go with that?
Why did they or didn't they?
Why did they?
Their jails were full. People were sitting on pretrial. They were in custody on a petty theft ticket for 2 years. Well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's not a problem that we experience here. And I was an advocate for the State's Attorneys Association in trying to draft some reforms to this act. And what did they do? They talked to us up to the 11th hour and said, your ideas are great. You know, we appreciate your insight. We're going to take this into consideration. And then what they do, they passed it at 3:00 in the morning on a Thursday or Friday without consulting anyone. And the governor immediately signed it. So I didn't appreciate that. Right. Because we had worked with them on it. And that was sort of the impetus for me to shed party politics completely. Mm-hmm. I didn't switch, you know, yeah. My values are the same.
Right.
As far as values, just what I hold true and what politics and politicians mean to me. So I sent out a press release just to make the announcement that I was going to be in the future running as an independent as opposed to a Democrat. And a lot of my friends and colleagues encouraged me not to do this, you know, just hold off. Things may change in regard to the Safety Act. And, you know, I sent out the press release and again, I couldn't have slept better that night. I mean, and ever since.
I'm sure that was a tough decision.
It was a very tough decision, and it wasn't without consult with my family, of course, my father, and I told him the reasons why I wanted to do it. And, you know, he was very supportive of it. So, you know, my family were Democrats from the time that they, you know, timbered lumber and built a barn and a homestead here in Jersey County. Sure. Because of the fact that they were first generation immigrants, that the government had given them assistance to get going as farmers. And from that moment on, they supported the Democrat Party based upon that. And I still support those ideals. I just, in this particular position, I feel way more comfortable as an independent.
Yep. And yeah, like you said, we'd be better off with not a two-party system, just everybody independent.
That's it, man. Across the board. I understand the politics locally and why someone would want to run one way or the other. But again, my dream would be that across the county, state, and ultimately the country, folks are running on an independent ticket, that we're voting for that person as an individual, what they've accomplished, what they plan to do, and rather than, you know, whether they're red or blue.
What do you think about, what's your opinion as far as the presidential election? Who do you, not that who you're going to vote for, but what's it look like to you as far as who might win?
Yeah, I haven't made predictions, and nor would I, especially after 2016. I think probably everybody was wrong. I get the feeling, and just reading media, I think Trump definitely has the momentum in this last week. I think it's very difficult to shift that momentum in such a short period of time. You know, Harris came on strong when she announced, and that's just a natural bump you would get. You know, the convention was there, and I think Trump has closed that gap, and it is razor thin. And I see today Trump is leading in 6 of the 7 battlegrounds. I mean, within the margin of error.
What do you think about those polls, though? I mean, they say that, but I mean, how honest is that?
Yeah, after 16, I don't listen to them at all. I mean, it gives you some idea of where it's at. And they said they've made the adjustments for the quiet Trump voter. You know, the people that don't say out loud they're going to vote for Trump, but go into the ballot box and they make that choice. Now the other side's saying, well, there's going to be quiet Harris voters now that the polls aren't recognizing. You know, women are coming out in record numbers to early vote. I think in each of the battleground states, 10% more of women are voting than men. Now that may be the same across the board, but yeah, I don't know where it's going to land, Chris. I don't. I just think that the campaigns have, you know, committed self-inflicted wounds leading up to this. Both sides have positive things they could talk about. You know, if Trump would just stick to the economy and immigration and not talk about anything else, he would be up by 10 or 15 points.
I know.
And Harris, you know, if she would stay on message with, you know, women's reproductive rights is probably their best argument, as well as, you know, just democracy, I think, is another thing that's high on that. But these two candidates in the party, not the parties, but they get into these spats where somebody's calling somebody this, somebody's calling somebody that. And we just get lost in the weeds, man. Stick to the issues, stick to the things that are important to the American people. That's what they want to hear.
A quick comment on the referendum that was on the ballot. Okay. About, Jersey County separating from state of Illinois. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Something like that.
The referendum, the way it's written, is a bit of a word salad. I don't know what exactly it's asking. If it's asking, should the county board discuss secession from Illinois, it's just a distraction. It's noise. It's not legally possible through our Constitution to do so. 2 years ago, the then county board asked me to do research as to whether Jersey County could secede from Illinois and join Missouri. I reluctantly did the research because I knew it wasn't possible. I did the research, informed them, no, it's not possible to do that. Well, that didn't satisfy all the members of the board, so they asked that the attorney general give an official opinion on the matter. Now, the only person that can request an official opinion is the state's attorney, the legal authority for the county.
And that's you.
And that's me. And I said, Mr. Chairman, I don't want my name to be on a document like that. I don't even want, you know, the attorney general's office to think that I think that's possible. And the chairman at the time was a good man. He was a good leader. He said, Ben, just let's put this to bed. Final, end it. Okay. Request the opinion. I requested the opinion. About a year later, maybe even close to 2 years later, the AG came out with their official opinion. It's not possible. You can't secede from Illinois and go to Missouri. It's not in our constitution. It's not written through statutory law. It is impossible to secede. So I think putting a referendum on the ballot, which has zero possibility of occurring, I don't know where that gets us, except, you know, divides everybody even more.
The only thing I could see that it could do is maybe if that happened across this, it was on, I don't even know how many ballots or how many elections it's in counties it's taken place, but it could send a message to Cook County or to Pritzker or whatever saying, hey, you know what? Everybody's not so happy with some of your decisions. You know, that's the only thing I could
say. I agree with that sentiment. And I just think the referendum probably could have been written in a way that made that more clear, sending a message to Cook County and the governor about the dissatisfaction in Southern Illinois, but stating something in a referendum in regard to secession, which is not even legally, constitutionally, or statutorily possible, I don't think puts us anywhere. Yeah. But I agree with that sentiment that if enough counties decide that maybe it'll shake things up in Cook County, I don't think so, but good luck.
Yes. All right. One last item we need to talk about, the UCAN. Can you comment on that? I know you're heading up this program.
I appreciate you letting me plug it. So the Unified Child Advocacy Network, I'm the president of the board. UCAN does forensic interviews for children that have been sexually and physically abused. We represent five counties, contiguous counties here in the state of Illinois, and it is an invaluable resource to every community. It's housed right here in Jerseyville for the five county regions. We're experiencing some financial issues based upon grants that we have that they're late getting in. So, they'll be 4 to 6 months late on grant money that we need to function as an organization. These forensic interviewers don't get paid. The administrative director doesn't get paid. These people work for free and do this wonderful work, and they continue to do it. So what my push is to the community, to anyone out there, please, please look into this organization. You can donate to this organization. We now have, I went to our county board, they donated $10,000. Jerseyville City donated $10,000. Calhoun County donated $5,000. And we're going to go to Montgomery and Macoupin County, who are the two other counties. We've also had individual donations, people that have been unbelievably generous. And I know there's a lot of folks in this county that do really well. And they're probably, you know, they look for things like this to contribute to. There's nothing more valuable, in my opinion, than the young people in our community. And these things happen, unfortunately. I know nobody wants to think they do, but children are abused daily. And this organization interviews these children.
How do they get to an interview? How does that happen?
So there'll be a disclosure. So a lot of times, you know, there's mandatory disclosure requirements. If a child's at school and a teacher hears it,
usually it's through school. Right?
A lot of times it's through school. It's a teacher or a friend of family. A child will say something. You know, children don't know what's going on, Chris. I mean, they don't know the anatomy of the body.
What age are we talking about?
Oh, I mean, we'll interview anybody, you know, up to 15, 16, 17 years old. But typically we're looking at children under the age of 10. Okay. Who are victims in this. And what this organization does, they interview these children. It's recorded. Of course, they're put in a very safe place. They have toys. And these forensic interviewers are trained to elicit responses from these kids that would indicate that there was or wasn't abuse. That, you know, sometimes kids have imaginations, right? So this, if there is abuse happening, these interviews, the recorded interviews, are used at the trial. So then you don't have to bring this 4 or 5 or 6 year old up on the stand in front of a jury, in front of a group of people, and in front of the perpetrator that victimized this child. There's no better organization out there. If people want to donate, this is what to donate to. It's a fantastic organization, and it's absolutely necessary. I just want to send out the, if you do want to contribute online, it is givebutter.com, givebutter.com/youcan, U-C-A-N. You can contribute online. Go up to the courthouse. Go to the city police department. Go to the sheriff's department with your checkbook and say, I want to donate to this organization, because it is not for profit. Nobody's getting rich doing this work. The forensic interviewers and everyone that works there, they are here to look out for these kids. They're true advocates. And it's a wonderful organization that we need to keep right here in Jerseyville. And if we don't get the financial support, unfortunately, this five county organization that does so many good things will go out, will no longer exist. If something happens to a child in our community, they're going to have to go up to Springfield or have to drive somewhere else. So that's my pitch for that.
Well, it's a good one. That's for sure. And it's not just sexual abuse, right?
It's physical abuse as well. Yeah. Any child that's being abused and victimized. It's it.
Okay. Well, Ben, do you have any last words of wisdom to tell our listeners?
Here's the thing. We're at an election year. I encourage everyone to vote. Be an educated voter. Read the issues. I'm going to tell you, everyone, right now, no matter who wins this election, this country is going to be just fine. The world is not on fire. Our country is not in decline. And no matter who's sitting in the White House, we will survive it. It's too beautiful of a thing, this country we have, the democracy that we've created. So be positive. Be positive about what's happening and the direction the country's going in, no matter who's there. And just be good to one another.
Yes. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Chris.
And have a great day.
You too.